ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीराय हस्तापरायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवतः सेवाय भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भगवती नैष्ठिकी reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam translations and purports by Srila Prabhupada. The Renunciation of Kardama Muni, Canto 3, Chapter 24, Text 36. Etan me janmalokesmin mumukshunam durashaya prasankhyanaya tatvanam samathaya atmadarshane Etan me janma lokesmin mumukshunam durashaya prasankhyanaya tatvanam prasankhyanaya tatjanam samataya atmadarshane Etan me janma lokesmin Mukshunam durashayat prasankhyanaya tatvanam samatayatmadarshane. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. My appearance in this world is especially to explain the philosophy of Sankhya, which is highly esteemed for self-realization by those desiring freedom from the entanglement of unnecessary material desires. My appearance in this world, repeat, in this world, is especially to explain the philosophy of Sankhya, which is highly esteemed for self-realization by those desiring freedom from the entanglement of unnecessary material desires. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here the word durashayat is very significant. Dur refers to trouble or dukkha, miseries. Ashayat means from the shelter. Weak conditioned souls have taken shelter of the material body, which is full of troubles and miseries. Foolish people cannot understand the situation, and this is called ignorance, illusion, or the spell of Maya. Human society should very seriously understand that the body itself is the source of all miserable life. Modern civilization is supposed to be making advancement in scientific knowledge. But what is this scientific knowledge? It is based on bodily comforts only, without knowledge that however comfortably one maintains his body, the body is destructible. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Antavanta ime deha, these bodies are destined to be destroyed. Nityasukta sharirina refers to the living soul or the living spark within the body. That soul is eternal, but the body is not eternal. For our activity, we must have a body. Without a body, without sense organs, there is no activity. But people are not inquiring whether it is possible to have an eternal body. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Shri Gauranitaya Ki Jai. Actually, they aspire for an eternal body because even though they engage in sense enjoyment, that sense enjoyment is not eternal. They are therefore in want of something which they can enjoy eternally, but they do not understand how to attain that perfection. Sankhya philosophy, therefore, as stated herein by Kapila Dev, is tatvaanam. The Sankhya philosophy system is designated to afford understanding of the real truth. What is that real truth? The real truth is knowledge of how to get out of the material body, which is the source of all trouble. Lord Kapila's incarnation or descent is especially meant for this purpose. That is clearly stated here. The text again says, my appearance in this world is especially to explain the philosophy of Sankhya, which is highly esteemed for self-realization by those desiring freedom from the entanglement of unnecessary material desires. Om Aginati Minandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksarun Vitam Jaina Tasma Shri Guru Venama Sihi Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dharati Svaparantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangvam Langayate Girin Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Shri Guru Dinatarane. Prabhupada emphasizes that the word durashayat is very important. Durashayat refers to unnecessary material desires. We live in a world of durashayat, or unnecessary material desires. A key word here is unnecessary. The word need comes from the word necessity or necessary. The conditioned souls are unable to distinguish the difference between needs and desires, or unnecessary needs. Desires may be called unnecessary needs. More consumer goods, more electronic equipment, electronic can openers, are unnecessary material desires. Unnecessary material desires. Very important word. In the purport, Prabhupada says that it is the body itself, which is the cause of unnecessary material desires. And he goes on to say that advancement in scientific knowledge is for the purpose of enhancing unnecessary material desires. Most people that live in the shadow of Govardhan Hill do not have ceiling fans. They don't have electricity most of the time. But they're very happy. Happy is a very subjective word, and a study was done by some Westerners at the London School of Economics and Political Science The study was made to determine which region is the happiest place in the world. Their conclusion was that Bangladesh was the happiest place in the world. Most people in Bangladesh do not have electronic can openers or air conditioning. And this is one of the proofs that unnecessary material desires directed towards making the body more comfortable will not make us happy. In one of his walks in Delhi, in New Delhi, in 1975, or maybe it was 1976, Prabhupada said that increasing material desires increases false egotism. It makes people feel very proud. I feel very proud that I have good medical service. I feel very proud that I have a very quiet and fast automobile. I feel very proud that I have enough money to travel in airplanes wherever I want to go. This is called false egotism. It is false pride. And it stems from the material body. Even in economically depressed countries, there is an obsessive desire to be like the West, to have material things, to have ceiling fans, to have fast and quiet cars, to be able to see movies whenever we want to have good medical care, to have a very comfortable place, comfortable chair to sit on, to have a very comfortable air-conditioned house to live in. In one lecture, Prabhupada said that even chairs are unnecessary. We are sitting on the floor. Silverware is unnecessary. We are eating with our hands. Huge industries have been built upon furniture and flatware, silverware. This is increasing Shudraism. Formerly, in Vedic culture, cobblers or shoemakers were thought to be of a lower class or a lower caste. Today, makers of chappals and shoes are respected as very great business magnates, very wealthy, very affluent, very important and distinguished personalities. But what have they done? They have tried to make walking more comfortable. In America, you can spend $200 for one pair of shoes. Air-conditioned shoes. They're advertised as air-conditioned shoes to make walking more comfortable. Or to live in the shadow of some sports star. So, instead of God being at the center of life, sports stars and movie stars are at the center of life. And rock stars are at the center of life. This is the religion of today. Karl Marx said that religion is the opiate of the masses. But opium has become the religion of the masses. It is very difficult to distinguish between needs and desires when so many unnecessary desires are being paraded in front of our eyes at every moment. And it is very tragic that even in places like Raj, people are playing incessant film music and selling pain bomb all night long Some nights it was almost impossible to sleep right here in Govardhan because people were advertising pain balm in loudspeakers from 1 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the morning. Pain balm. It is an unnecessary material desire. Pain is a necessity of life. It is a function of the human condition. In the entanglement of fruitive activities, Lord Kapila Dev instructs his mother, Devahuti, about the adversities, about the dangers of the living entities. I'm going to read some of those verses because they're very instructive. It all starts in the womb. Babies and children are very popular, but birth is a very unpleasant experience. Actually, these descriptions of the living entities are proof that there is a living soul as soon as conception takes place in the material body. Therefore, our contribution to the so-called abortion debate is that life begins at the very moment of conception. These are Prabhupada's descriptions from the 31st chapter of the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Under the supervision, I'm going to paraphrase some of these. Under the supervision of the Supreme Lord, and according to the result of his work, the living entity, the soul, is made to enter into the womb of a woman through the particle of male semen, to assume a particular type of body. On the first night, the sperm and ovum mix, and on the fifth night, the mixture ferments into a bubble. On the tenth night, it develops into a form like a plum, and after that, it gradually turns into a lump of flesh or an egg, as the case may be. In the course of a month, a head is formed, and at the end of 2 months, the hands, feet, and other limbs take shape. By the end of 3 months, the nails, fingers, toes, body hair, bones, and skin appear, as do the organs of generation and other apertures in the body, namely the eyes, nostrils, ears, mouth, and anus. Lord Kapiladev describes the condition of the child within the womb. The fetus grows and remains in that abominable residence of stools and urine, which is a breeding place of all kinds of worms. Bitten again and again all over the body by the hungry worms in the abdomen itself, the child suffers terrible agony because of his tenderness. He thus becomes unconscious moment after moment because of the terrible condition. Owing to the mother's eating bitter, pungent foodstuffs or food which is too salty or too sour, the body of the child is incessantly suffering pains which are most intolerable. The child thus remains just like a bird in a cage, without freedom of movement. At that time, if the child is fortunate, he can remember all the troubles of his past 100 births and he grieves wretchedly. What is the possibility of peace of mind in that condition? So Lord Gopila goes on to explain how the human soul says, I take shelter of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, who appears in his various eternal forms and walks on the surface of the world. I take shelter of him only because he can give me relief from all fear, and from him I have received this condition of life, which is just befitting my impious activities. And then further on he explains that at the moment of birth, all past lives are forgotten, and in intense pain and crying out, the child comes into the world in a pool of perspiration and urine and stool and other abominable substances. And all the past is forgotten. Therefore, Krishna very kindly manifests himself on this earth in places like Vraj, so that we can be freed from unnecessary material desires, so that we can be freed from thinking the body is the ultimate end of our desires, so that we can realize there is another dimension of life. He says, Paritranaya Sadhunam, he takes birth on this planet in order to elevate those who are willing to listen, those who are pious. Paritranaya Sadhunam. So he advances in many different ways, in many different forms, to relieve the conditioned souls. It's been calculated that in some countries, that because of what are called harmless daily addictions, like buying unnecessary things, like drinks of coffee, or unnecessary gadgetry for one's cell phone or computer, that over 1 year, enough expense is accumulated to buy essential needs, to pay electricity bills, to clothe oneself. Unfortunately, we are very addicted to unnecessary things that all stem from the bodily needs. The senses are actually crying out for more. If we are given more to eat, we want more. We want more, more. Therefore, in Western countries, obesity has become a very grave problem. People are slaves of their tastes, of the nose, of the mouth. We have become slaves to the ears, and therefore sometimes people whimsically and compulsively buy the latest CDs that are being offered because they're victims of their ears. Whatever sounds good, they don't need it, but they feel they must have it. So the body is entrapping us, making us victims of Maya. So Prabhupada was very uncompromising in his criticism of Western so-called culture or civilization. Even the Pope, the head of the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church, called the West culture the culture of death. We are gathered in Vraj because we are fortunate enough to realize that there is another world that doesn't depend on unnecessary material desires, things that entrap us and keep us locked in this material world, in this samsaric cycle of birth and death. And as Lord Kapila describes, birth is not a very pleasant thing. All this is instruction to Devahuti and for all of us to free ourselves from the bodily condition of life. I'm going to stop here, read the verse again, and then let others talk. My appearance in this world is especially to explain the philosophy of Sankhya, which is highly esteemed for self-realization by those desiring freedom from the entanglement of unnecessary material desires. So, anything you'd like to say, comments or questions or additions, please do so. I think he was asking if people are degraded in the holy dhams. Everyone who has a human body is here because he or she wanted to enjoy the material world. The purpose of the human body is to cross over the ocean of material nations to the spiritual world and obtain Krishna. Therefore, there are the Vedas, there is the spiritual master, and there is the brain of the human body. So if the human person, the human soul, does not upgrade itself to cross over this ocean of material nations and miseries, then that human being is acting on the platform of a lower being, an animal, a monkey, or a cow, or an ass. Of course, on many occasions, Prabhupada said that people who are born in Bharat and born in India are fortunate. Because here there are holy places, holy rivers like the Ganga, Jamuna, Kaveri, Narmada, Krishna. There are places like Vraj and Rameshwaram and many, many places to remind us of Krishna. Even people's names remind them of Krishna. And when Ajamil was on his deathbed, he was chanting the name of Narayan. At first, not even thinking of the Supreme Being Narayan, but of his own son. So even though India is the breeding ground for gods, false gods, it is also very good for making spiritual advancement because of so many holy places, holy people. Unfortunately, Maya has invaded even the holy dhams. Therefore, we have a duty to remind people, even in the holy dhams, that there is Krishna. So we have Jalseva and so much prasadam distribution right here. And we have a temple. Prabhupada wanted a temple, Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, where people would be reminded of Krishna. They would see shaven heads. They'd see beautiful murtis of Krishna and Balaram, Gornitai Rat, Shamsundar, gorgeously decorated, beautiful music by Aindra, to remind them that unnecessary material desires will not make us happy. It is said in various Niti Shastras like the Panchatantra that poverty brings out the worst in people. And it is true. Therefore, Prabhupada has sent his missionaries into even the most poverty-stricken regions of the world to remind them that unnecessary material desires will not make them happy. It is said poverty is the wealth of the Brahmin. So devotees know that despite material poverty, there is a great world of spiritual life that is very large, much bigger, and full of joy and happiness. That is the charge that Srila Prabhupada has given us to remind people about. That should be our goal of life. Wherever we are. Others? Comments?
Also need to buy this equipment in order to use it in preaching. So somehow we become dependent on this equipment, because without this equipment you can't preach. So this comment is how to be not dependent on this equipment.
So she asked, why is it that we are so dependent on technology when it is destructive? Most of technology is misused to build large buildings, listen to rock music, make films, have faster and better cars, better communication, better medicine. 99.9% of technology is misused. But Prabhupada said we should employ the principle of Yukta Vairagya, which Rupa Goswami explained means that we can't renounce everything. If we can use it for Krishna, we'll use it for Krishna. So if we can advance the cause of Krishna consciousness through technology, we'll use it. So even Prabhupada sometimes used the dictaphone, the telephone, because it could advance Krishna consciousness. The main thing is not to become attached to technology, because attachment to unnecessary material things, for their own sake, or for the sake of increasing bodily comforts or sense gratification, that is destructive. So, quoting Niti Shastras, Prabhupada said, we should learn to take gold from a filthy place, pick it up, because it's, after all, it is gold. That's the principle of Yukta Vairagya. The setting in which we find modern technology is unhealthy. But if we can use airplanes and communication to increase Krishna consciousness, then let us use it. The devotees in Brazil, in a temple called Nova Gokula, held a conference about 10 years ago for alternative societies of Brazil. The message was that we can use technology for a good purpose, but we don't actually need it. And Prabhupada wanted us to learn. It may take many years, but he wanted us to have communities that weren't dependent upon petrol and electricity. There are a few, very few, starting up in different parts of the world now. But this was one of Prabhupada's goals, to show that we do not have to live our lives dependent upon electricity and petrol. But while it is available, and if we can use it for expanding Krishna consciousness, then we should use it. Not for other reasons. So sometimes devotees are reading books about book production written by non-devotees. They're reading books about musical and CD and cassette production written by non-devotees. They're reading books about agriculture written by non-devotees. Because they are using this knowledge to advance Krishna consciousness, it doesn't mean they are wasting their time or engaging in nonsense activities. I must have said something wrong. Want to speak anything? Okay.
You mentioned that Bangladesh is the most happy country. Why is it?
Yeah, go on.
Один из тут, который исследовал, да, проводил исследование, что по счастью, они постановили, что Бангладеш это самое самое счастливое место на Земле. Почему так?
So, what's the question? Well, what's the comment?
Почему так? Why is it so bad for Bangladesh?
Okay. So, yeah, so there was a study done by a British university, the London School of Economics and Political Science. So they determined, they had a series of criteria, what makes a person happy. As I said before, it's a very subjective thing, what happiness is. But I use the example to show that even though Bangladesh is a very dense, crowded country, population-wise, and even though there is not very much material facility there, at least according to that study, they appear to be happy. So the idea is that you don't... Oh, and in that study, the United States came in 34th, I think it was 34th, and United Kingdom, England, came in something like 38th. So this was just to show that having so many material things, the unnecessary material desires, is not going to make us happy. That was the idea. That's why I mentioned it. So I think we'll stop.